You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Come in for their best deals ever right now. Record number of customers that take advantage of the Chevrolet 0% interest through the summer, so you might as well do it. They have 20% off MRSP on remaining 2017s at Lakewood Chev. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. And Shogger, Oilers, defense, goaltending, effort, that stuff has all been solved. But the final piece to the puzzle is a big one, lack of ability to finish. They probably had their best chances, like grade-A chances, and could not score last night.
Yeah, definitely. They had a lot of really good looks. Open nets and great grade-A opportunities. It really makes you think that the game has come a long way and that it's come around. I feel like it sets up, if they are able to build off of that, that eventually they're going to start piling some of these in. And then the challenge becomes some consistency in their game and all of the qualities that they built back into their game through the course of this three-game road trip, to not lose track of those, to bring those consistently. And then if they start getting a little bit, if they bear down a little bit more and get a little bit more locked in, I think that this team is poised to start getting back to a more of a winning clip than what they've been doing. I think their play is finally to the point now where they're ready to start on any given night putting up more of a fight. So I think they've remedied a lot, and now it's just that final piece, which is, I mean, it's voodoo trying to figure it out, how you start putting in more of those chances. I mean, there's not much a coach can do other than keep rolling them out there and hope that guys start bearing down.
Would you start tomorrow with the same lines that he started last game, or would you go with how he ended the game?
Well, I thought they played real well for the bulk of the game, and I understand why he made the switch. So I think there's a real commitment to keep Draisaitl and McDavid playing on separate lines for portions of the season, and I think that against an opponent like Dallas, I think that they can afford to spread out the offense a little bit, and they don't need to necessarily load up one line in the hopes of being able to overpower somebody, another team offensively. So I think he'll keep them separate. But, I mean, trying to guess what Todd McClellan will do is tough. I don't know exactly what the answer is yet. We'll see at practice tomorrow. But I would keep them separate. I thought it was a good look through the bulk of the game. And then it's nice to have that in your hip pocket to go to if you need to.
I'd go the opposite. I think the Oilers, they haven't had a lead in basically seven games.
Yeah.
And when that line got put together, it's instant chemistry. We all saw it in the final 10 minutes. I don't think it's, well, we'll wait, and if suddenly Dallas is up 1-0 and here we go again, and then now you're playing catch-up just to get even again. With so many guys struggling, I would just say, hey, what's the one thing we know that can generate offense, not chances, but legit goals? It's that trio. So
But where was that when they were playing together?
Well, they had four goals in three games.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just seemed like the timely scoring wasn't there. They weren't winning games with those guys together. And I know there's a lot that's been fixed, and they're getting some goaltending now. So I don't know. I mean, listen, they need to learn to play with those guys on separate lines.
But
just as much as they need to be able to put them together and have it be successful in a potent line, they also need to learn to survive with those guys on separate lines. We saw that in the playoffs. They have to. When you hit the playoffs and the competition gets stiff over a seven-game series where there's individual matchups, and you need to be able to separate those two. They had to against Anaheim. And so they can't play an entire season with those guys together and then suddenly split them up in the playoffs if you catch a certain opponent and think it's going to be fine. They have to play some time apart and have an opportunity to drive their own lines. Draisaitl has to, so that they can lean on that in the playoffs if they need it, don't you think?
Yes and no. When I look at what cost them the Anaheim series, I honestly don't think it was the fact that those guys were together for the majority of it.
They split them up for a huge portion of that series.
I think, wasn't it two games? Because they started the first three or four together, then they split them up, right?
Yeah, I mean,
because to me it was.
I can't remember. Like, I know they finished apart.
Yeah, I know they finished apart. But for me, you go back to that series, and the guys who are your secondary scorers, Lucic, Nugent-Hopkins and Eberle did not score one goal in that entire series. And for me, if those guys who had done it all year and really in their careers had proven that they could produce without a Draisaitl or McDavid, that to me was the bigger letdown for the group. And, because even when you got McDavid and Draisaitl, like Draisaitl that one game obviously had the 5 points and they really dominated for sure. I know a lot of people are comparing him to the Penguins now. I go back and I compare him to the Penguins when they were young with Crosby and Malkin, and it was really those two carried that team offensively. They had 54 more points and 64 more points than the next guys on their team in the regular season, and then over double in the playoffs. And it's great to want to say, well, look at Pittsburgh now, but the Oilers just you can't jump to be a Stanley Cup contender right away. And I think with their young guys, to me, I would kind of say, here's our two horses. They can carry it. And sure, it's not ideal to have them on the same line right away, but right now they need wins first, not worrying about the playoffs, because if they don't get wins, they don't get to the playoffs.
Right. And I guess I would just point back to when they needed wins earlier this season and started the year with those two together and didn't get many. And so now Draisaitl gets hurt, and go ahead.
Yeah, but that was only three games, right? And I think we can both agree the goaltending in game two and three was pretty brutal.
Yeah, but they didn't generate a whole – I don't know, man. Listen, if he puts them together, he puts together one of the most potent lines in hockey, right? That's what he has at his disposal to do, so why not just go ahead and do it? Sure. And if he does, I don't think it's a mistake. Like, if he decides that, okay, winning games right now is more important than the bigger picture, I think organizationally they believe those players need to spend time on their own lines for them to have success. Peter Chiarelli even said it in his sit-down with McKenzie. I've been saying it for a year and a half that playing those guys together for a full season probably could push you to win a division, although I don't know about this year. But separating them and having them driving their own lines and being a two-pronged threat is what gets you over the hump in the postseason. So, look, if McClellan wants to play them together, then have at her. But I do firmly believe they need to spend periods of time on their own line. Draisaitl needs to play center and drive a line and push other players around him to be better, because he's that good. He can make other players around him better. And they need that elevation out of other players for them to be able to have success. And if you got them both stacked on one line, you just run the risk of it being a black hole further down the lineup. And I don't know that you can win when it matters, especially if you come up against a team that figures out a way to shut down one, if not both, of your guys. Then you just got other guys that aren't carrying it. So I think, listen, it's not a mistake if he does it, but I do think they need to spend time apart this year, and I think the organization believes that too.
Yeah, I think they might go to it. Would you put Slepyshev back in the lineup? And is he somebody, Todd McClellan, mentioned that, he took Yamamoto off the line because he's playing against Crosby. Well, you got McDavid, and he might see Jamie Benn and Sagan. So I'm not sure that's any less dangerous. And I'd argue maybe more dangerous, because Crosby's wingers, neither one of them is Jamie Benn. So do you think there's a chance that he'll look at somebody else on McDavid's line tomorrow night, because he's probably going to see them against Benn Sagan line?
Slepyshev, I don't know, man. How do you go from a healthy scratch to possibly a look with McDavid? And if that's the case, they got serious problems on their right side, which we kind of know they do. Drake Kajula and Anton Slepyshev, I am not as convinced as everybody else seems to be. I'm just not. And I've said it over and over again. Slepyshev's got 11 points in 57 games played in the National Hockey League. 23 years old, he's still developing. I like some of the skill set that I see, but in terms of his ability to be a consistent point contributor, I mean, he wasn't even at the American Hockey League for very long stints. So I don't know that Slepyshev is that real cheap answer on McDavid's right side in the making, and as soon as he gets his feet under him, he's ready to slide in there. I don't know that Drake Kajula has 20-goal potential, and people really want him to. I'm not sure it's there. So,
and you think Yamamoto does right away?
Well, I mean, it's tough because he's not burying him. I like what I see, and I think he fits, and I think he's got more offensive potential than both of those players for sure.
But this year?
Well, yeah, I think if he were to play a full season next to McDavid, he'll come out on a higher and point total than either Slepyshev or Drake Caggiula would. Yeah, I do believe that. Now, whether it's a good idea to have him in that spot or not, I'm not certain yet. But I don't know, man. Slepyshev, he's penciled in a certain spot. And he misses training camp. It definitely hurt him. But he can't even stay in the lineup right now. So you can throw him next to McDavid? So that what? So now...
Well, they put Letestu there for a period. No offense to him, fourth line.
Right, but I mean, they do that because the one thing they know is that Letestu, if a puck is on his stick, he can usually one-time it and he's got a decent level of finish. And there were a few things defensively that got away from Yamamoto in that game. I don't understand why McClellan made that switch. I thought he was a little bit loose in his own end a few times. I was kind of going, ooh, boy, you got to lock it down a little tighter than that. And they make a switch, and they put someone a little more sure-handed in there. And that's fine. That's Letestu can do that on spot duty. But he's not built to be in that spot long-term. So they've got some problems, and we knew they were thin on the right side, but Slepyshev can't stay in the lineup. Puljujärvi's in the minors. Strome, the coach likes better as a center. They've got some issues on that right side, and I don't know what the answer is, but I don't know that it's Anton Slepyshev, and I don't know that it's going to be anytime soon. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he missed training camp and it hurt him and he's ready to break out, and maybe they'll give him that opportunity, but so far I don't see it.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. What did you make of the blue line pairings last night?
Well, listen, I thought Darnell Nurse had one of his better games as an Oiler. I thought he was really effective. I thought he moved the puck with confidence. I thought he made good decisions when he was skating up ice for the most part. There was one rush I saw out of him that I thought was great because he headed up ice like a just absolutely full speed, didn't like what he saw, put on the brakes, and then hit a forward that was following up on the play just between the red line and the blue line. I thought, there it is. That's what you need to do. Just have your head up and be open to something other than I'm getting to the far blue line no matter what. So he showed nice presence there. I thought he was physical. I think the fact that he had one of his best games, if anybody thinks that has nothing to do with the fight earlier in the game, then I don't think you understand what makes some of these guys tick. And so to me, that was a sign of Darnell Nurse going out and doing something he felt he needed to do to step outside his comfort zone and challenge himself. And he had a hell of a night after that. So I thought it was a really positive step for Darnell Nurse last night for sure. And, I mean, defensively, the team was good. I mean, I know they gave up a fair number of shots, but they had just as many quality scoring chances. And they got her dialed in. And Cam Talbot, man, those pads, he might have the best pads in the league. And they're working for him right now. So they got a lot clicking defensively.
So would you make any lineup changes tomorrow?
Well, it was a pretty good night. I mean, Kyra was, I don't know, did you see him do anything to make a statement or have any sort of statement game to his coach after sitting as long as he did?
Yeah, the problem is if you take him out, who's your center?
I know, because they had to send Malone down. So now I mean, Slepyshev, to inject him in for, I don't know, he could probably go in for Pakarainen, I guess, if you wanted to. I'm not in a huge rush for Jokinen to get back in the lineup, but, I mean, they signed him and he's here, so they probably can't keep him out for too long. But I thought as a team they played well, and I could see them wanting to go back to what they had last game and maybe a tweak on the fourth line. I would leave the D pairings the same and have at her.
Shogger, we'll see what he does with the top line tomorrow at the morning skate. We'll chat with you then.
Okay, take care, pal.